Blog Talk Radio.
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend. It over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second, I can't hear myself.
All right, Todders, we got some learning to do here. My nephew brought home another book the other day, just burns me up. Now they want a politically correct up Christmas story so they don't offend nobody and everybody everywhere can enjoy it. So this is a story formerly known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It is now called 'Twas the Night Before a Non-Denominational Winter Holiday. Was the night before a non-denominational winter holiday when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The neutral gift sacks were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that a non-specific holiday figure would soon be there. Children of every race, creed, and nationality were resting all snug in their beds while visions of sugar-free plums danced in their heads. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I got up out of bed to see what was the matter and to see who was violating the neighborhood sound level ordinance. But what to my wondering eyes did appear but an emissions-free vehicle, an 8-size Challenge reindeer. Holiday figure was so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Holiday Figure. He had a broad but normal face, an advanced-sized belly, and he laughed. Lady of the evening, lady of the evening, lady of the evening. Can you believe that? What in the world? You can't even say ho, ho, ho no more. What kind of commie crap is this? I don't care who you are. His name is Santa Claus, and he cracks deer with a horse whip, breaks into people's houses, drinks rum and eggnog, and looks like Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard in the state.
Christmas, shipmates, and welcome once again to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. And remember, freedom is not cheap, but we can afford it. It is tyranny that we cannot afford. And I just had to play that. I love that cable guy, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and he makes a lot of good points. I mean, you can't say anything in this world anymore. I mean, hello. For God's sakes, hello could get you fired. It could get you sued. Oh, my Lord, a living. I could get you kicked out of your little favorite social club. I mean, this is just getting, you know, I mean, enough is enough. And it goes along with this whole duck boy controversy crap on both ends. It just is a setup just to demonize the right. That's all this is about. And for what? So far, I see more people are taking this duck guy, Phil Robinson. I see more people taking his side than the other side that are even A&E. I mean, here they go ahead. He's so vile and disgusting and creepy, and he's all these horrible, nasty, rotten things. So we're going to fire him or, you know, it's suspended indefinitely. What the hell does that mean? I know what it means. It means until you decide you want to bring him back, if you want to bring him back. In other words, he's fired. You know, if you want to rehire him, okay, fine. But bottom line, he was fired. But yet you're going to play his stuff and make millions upon millions of dollars off of him. well, if he is so vile and nasty and creepy and horrible and saying all these racist and homophobic things that are just, you know, just hate speech, then why are you going to play this guy? I mean, not for nothing. I mean, the hypocrisy is just it's oozing out of, I mean, it's just, it's pathetic. I'm sick of it on both ends. There shouldn't be an issue. We shouldn't even be talking about it. And I told myself I wasn't going to talk about it. What am I doing? I'm talking about it. It's ridiculous. Good God, it's Christmas already. Come on. But in any event, yes, that's right. It is Christmas. It's okay to celebrate it. If you don't like it, you don't want to celebrate it, well, then don't. I mean, my God. I don't celebrate Hanukkah. I don't celebrate Ramadan, but I'm not offended by it. I'm sorry, but I've known Muslims. I've been to their homes. But the mom, the dad, the sisters, everybody. They were nice to me. I was nice to them. They took me to their home. They explained all the Ramadan. They had stuff on their houses. Their dad went to Saudi Arabia or wherever, Mecca, every year. I don't know. There's bad people in every race. You don't think that there's a violent, mean Christians? What about that Baptist church there in wherever the hell that protests soldiers' funerals and all that? God hates fags and killing military guys and they deserve to die. And, I mean, it's just, I mean, come on. I mean, look, you don't believe in war? Well, newsflash for you. Most soldiers don't believe in war. They don't like it, but they're brave enough to stand up and say, you know what? We're going to have to fight for this. There's no other way. There's no other alternative. Doing your job. While you're sitting at home, shoving another bag of Cheetos down your gullet, well, because of that guy who's, you know, if he's got an opportunity in between the bullets flying over his head, he gets to pull out a can or a package that he has to use cold water because there's no place to build a fire, and he has to eat all kinds of very dirty, nasty, rotten, just disgusting things, which is one of the reasons why I did not join the Marine Corps. The Navy's good, man. I'm telling you. You want to go into the service, man, and you don't like eating out of cans or packages, you join the Navy. You eat good. Oh, we ate good. And wartime rats. We had these sea rats, whatever the hell they called them. I can't remember exactly what kind of rats they were, but we called them all kinds of rats, but, you know, just being sailors. But those Instamatic sea rats crap that they were giving us. I can't remember what it was, but they were good, man. It was good stuff, man. The Navy, no, I mean, you know, it depends on the ship. If you get on a small ship, the smaller the ship, the worse of the food. The bigger the ship, the better the food. You get up from a destroyer on up, that's where you get good food. Frigates, come on, I've been on a lot of frigates, and their food is horrible. Thinking, come on, guys. This is not Navy Chow, man. No. You get on a destroyer on up. Don't get yourselves on one of those little frigates. I mean, those little frigates, they might as well be Coast Guard. If they rock and roll too much, no, they're too itty-bitty, man. Spruance class destroyer, that was a nice ship, man. That was a nice class destroyer. I was on. USS John Young DD973, that's right. Anyway, where the hell were we? I know it's Christmas. All right. We do have actual breaking news to report. Looks like NORAD, the Santa tracker, went online this morning at 0200. Ho-ho, look at that. Looks like Santa is just approaching. It looks like he's just about ready to fly over the Himalayas. Wonder if his little sleigh there can fly that high. Looks like by tonight the reindeer are going to be good enough shaved. Santa will be making his famous house landings this evening. So all good boys and girls will have something nice in their stockings. Well, isn't that a nice report? It's about time we get into something
something almost cheery. Tired of talking about the bad crap, and it's Christmas, so. Oh, and speaking of getting something nice in your stockings, and speaking of trying to say something nice, how do you like that non-health care that you were promised to get, huh? Even though you didn't want it, but now you get one more day to get it. They just need one more day, and they might just get a few people in there to sign up and might make it work. It's not going to work. Then, Mr. President, 2 million? No. There's not even 1 million. You might have had 1 million people look into it. Could have been a bunch of people just trying to jam it up. You don't have people signing up. You don't even want it. Now they got, oh, my God, did you see that ad? They got the gay ad where the guys are running around in their little panties and trying to get everybody all, you know, get each other all jazzed up about health care and reindeers. And hey, I don't know. I mean, look, if you got to go down that road to get people to sign up for your mandated health care program or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't call it an act because it wasn't constitutional and it wasn't done correctly to make it an act. Especially when the American people didn't want it. So whatever the hell you call it. It's mandatory. They should not have to do this. So they go to gay clubs over here. They're really trying to get the gay people. But the gay people are saying no. Nobody's saying yes. The youngins ain't saying nothing. They're like, no. I looked at it. I don't want it. I can't afford it. No, I don't want it. No, I don't need it. Well, I thought these youngins were supposed to stay on their health plan, their parents' health plan until they were 26. What happened to that? And the guys, the 26 and the 27s to the 35s are saying, I don't think so, there, Chief. I mean, you know, you move that minimum wage up to $15 an hour, and maybe we might talk, you know, a little bronze plan action here. I mean, this is just an absolute, you know, instead of taking everybody who did have insurance and try to move them over to this brand new insurance, why didn't you just create an insurance for them, for the people that don't have it? You could have done something. But the point is what you really should have been doing, instead of just giving these people who didn't have insurance, well, take your EPA and, well, you just dismantle it. You take all your other little rules and regulations and all these other little guidelines and all these other pieces of legislation that all your little agencies out there that have just created because they no longer have to follow that Constitution. Yeah, I know. There I go again on Christmas using the C word. God, I'm horrible. Maybe if you would have done a little bit of something to, well, allow businesses to actually conduct business, therefore they would hire people, and those people who don't have insurance would then get a job to get insurance. How about that? I mean, that's just a suggestion. That's kind of what the American people thought, kind of going to do. Except for the people who voted for you, they thought it was just, you know, Obama was just going to go out and personally harvest the job trees and just start picking them off left and right and just start handing them out to the masses. Oh, yeah, look how easy this is. Oh, yeah, I'm your savior. I'm Jesus. No, you ain't. You're Mr. Barry Satoro, the president pro tempore of the United States of America. And you're pro tempore until we can figure out what the hell to do with you. My vote is to impeach, but that's just me. If not, we still have to figure out some kind of way to take all your laws and rules and regulations that you, with a stroke of a pen, decided you would just bypass Congress and the Constitution and deem as law. Those have to be stripping away. They have to be just completely taken away. Those are unconstitutional. You can't have them. They are unlawful. They are unlawful executive orders, and you cannot have them. The American people don't want them. They're not yours. Any executive order should be for the American people, not just for what, for you. Like his speech last week. Good God, everything was high. I got 2 million people signed up. You did? You've got 2 million people signed up? You got 2 million people who didn't have health care, now they do? Oh, these people, are they yours? Do you own them? Are they your little subjects? The hell does that mean? You got 2 million of your little people to sign up for your little health care that doesn't work, can't work, never will work. I mean, what the hell? I mean, the arrogance of this dude, man. I'm just sick of all of them. All right, looks like we got somebody on the line here. I got no way of telling your name, so if your last number's end in 4-7, you are now on with the captain. Hello, can you hear me? Guess not. Guess he hung up. Hello, here you are.
Hello. Hello. And a merry day to you, sir.
Vicky New Bill Victor.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I recognize you.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Merry Christmas, Vicky. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you, too, Captain. I need to tell you, I'm sick of them, too. So I'm choosing to focus. Yeah. Well, you know. You can be sick of everybody, but, you know, give everybody a break, too, I figure, you know.
You're right. I mean, I've got, my God, you want to talk about flaws. I mean, you're looking at Captain Flaw, you know, so, I mean, but I'm just sick of everybody.
Oh,
I'm sick of the lies, you know, but you got to lie to be in government. But anyway, I don't want to talk about government. I want to talk about Victoria Newbill. What has been going on with your life? How's your puppies? What's going on?
Oh, my.
I know you're still.
Yes, I am. And I am, I'm doing a lot of artistic, creative things myself.
Yep.
And I've written a song. I don't know if you can say dirty words on your Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm not supposed to, but
But suffice it to say, the song is called Cowboy Circle Jerk.
Oh, no.
And it simultaneously mocks pop country music and disrespectful online dating activities.
I could probably get, you know what, I don't like that. I don't like pop anything. I don't like pop anything. Pop first of all, that Britney Spears, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but you look like a million other girls. You can't sing, you can't dance, you got no talent, get off the freaking stage, you know what I mean? But you know, the kids, they love
Mark,
that kind of stuff. I don't understand.
Yeah,
you know,
marketing is crap.
But, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, like you never thought that you would turn into your parents because, you know, they didn't like our music, Led Zeppelin. They didn't like Rush. They didn't like, you know, it was all that. And I'm thinking, you know, we're back then. I mean, these were, you know, very talented, creative people, you know. So you see the stuff now, and now you're going to have kids and like, oh, my God, I can't believe the crap that you listened to on Britney Spears and Justin Bieber. Now, that was talent. You know what I mean? But
well, yeah, I can't see that happening. But, you know, I really think the smaller alternative music is kind of where it's at, where they've got all those wonderfully subversive, creative souls just cranking out their own music and not worrying who they offend.
You know, that's what I like too, where it's free and you actually play instruments and you play from the heart. You don't play for the magazines and the TVs and, you know, you play from right in there.
Yeah. Just, you know, music from the heart.
Email me. Can you email me your song?
Yes, I can. Actually, we're still working on the video for it, but
Really?
I probably can.
Well, who played, who was the band you used? Or you just
well,
you?
Well, I'm collaborating with a fantastic musician named Susan Ritter. And she is a quite an accomplished musician and plays all of the instruments.
Well, that's good, though. But, I mean, you got... You got a nice track. Well, that's good, because I've heard you sing. You can sing good.
Oh, thank you.
You sing. And I see your stuff on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, Facebookery is a fun way to keep in touch with the masses.
You know, since that, it took me, God, everybody was trying to get me to go on Facebook for years. And I finally got on it. Now I don't even use email anymore. I don't, you know what I mean? Is right there. You know what all your friends are doing at every given moment. You know who's been naughty, who's been nice. So,
yes.
And I'm naughty a lot.
A personal message there. It's, oh, you are. Well, tell me about that. You're naughty?
Well, I'm just cantankerous. I'm grumpy half the time, but I am nice. I do have a heart, and I do care for people.
I know, you do.
Sound grumpy all the time. But
that's to be expected, though. You know, you are uniquely situated in your grumpiness, aren't you?
Well,
yeah.
You know what I like about this? Is I feel good. I get everything out in the morning, and now I've got the rest of the day. I feel good. I got everything out, so it's like therapy. So instead of having to spend billions of dollars in talking to an analyst that doesn't really give a damn, just give me the check, I'm actually getting something done. I don't even have to take Prozac. How about that?
Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. So what are you planning on this afternoon after you've gotten all your grumpy out? Are you going to be baking cookies or skipping through the streets?
Well, I do have a couple of things that I'm actually working on. My I'm in a play, actually. We're going to be in the city, New York City. It's a competition. It's a one-act competition. And a girl that... I told you about the play that my play that I did in the city a few years ago. Well,
God, I love that play.
She
the
was
when
in
you
it.
Said report. Uh huh.
Yeah, about domestic violence. Well, she was in it, and she called me up and she says, "My son wrote a play and a one act play. We're going into competition in New York City. There's a lot of one act competitions, and you keep going, and you know, if you win, you get money, and on and on and on and on and on." So, and I haven't been on stage in a long time. So, anyway, I play I'm an actor of sorts, but I play an Arab terrorist, and I come in. It's supposed to be these housewives are supposed to be funny, and they got the teacher trying to get them to be funny, and they're not funny. So they hire me in, and I come in with all the garb, and I got a, you know, a machine gun, and I try to get them in. It makes a fake bomb. You know, you're going to be funny or I'm going to blow everybody up. Well, they start being funny, and then that's it. I'm done. And it's actually a pretty good script. It's going to be fun. I haven't been on stage in a long time, so I hope I don't screw up.
Oh, now stop it. You're a professional. But so you essentially train and or force the housewives to be funny in this play.
Yeah, and I'm not supposed to really be Eric, because when she told me about it and she gave me the script, and I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm as Caucasian as you could possibly get. I don't look anything. I got long blonde hair. I I'm not the worst. She goes, no. You're not supposed to be Arabic. You're supposed to be white. It's comedy.
Oh.
I said, oh, okay. So I got to be – so I use a, you know, the best I can Arab, you know, accent, try to get them to I guess the housewives are not too bright, so they're easily fooled. I do have a headdress that I got in UAE when I was in the Navy, and it's authentic. I bought it from a real shop, so I'm going to use that, too. So it's going to be pretty cool. So, I'm looking forward to it.
It's always fun. These are little costumes that we've collected throughout our lives.
My entire apartment is filled with all nothing but props, and my closet is filled with more costumes than I have actual clothes. I've got props galore.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go is a prop that I've used in a play that I built or made or had, you know, had to get done, whatever. So what are you doing this afternoon for Christmas Eve?
Well, I'm going over to a friend's house, and I have prepared a fun little gift for her. She's a bit of an Elvis fan, and I was able to find a cookbook that's entitled "Are You Hungry Tonight?" And it's a bunch of Elvis's supposed favorite recipes. So,
what, bananas and peanut butter and.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Mostly it just looks like a cookbook for Southern kind of soul food, you know?
Hey, I'd try it.
Mush. Yeah, why
not? This sounds like a gift I should give my mom because she loves that kind of stuff. And, of course, my mom is a huge Elvis fan. So,
oh, is she?
Oh,
I
God.
I did not know that.
Her
name's Priscilla, for heaven's sakes. Of course she's an Elvis fan.
Well, when he died, we knew that, you know, we got the news. We knew Mom was – so we went outside and we were playing, you know, ball, but we wanted to go in. We had to pee, and we just seen Mom kneeling down by the stereo and had his music playing, and we decided, you know what, we got plenty of trees. It's out in the country. Screw it. We're just going to go pee outside. So
yeah.
We left Mom alone. She was in there all day long, man. It, you know, when Elvis died, it hit a lot of people that, you know what I mean? I mean, especially your guy dies naked, you know, ODs naked on the toilet. I mean, he's the king. Well, he died on the throne.
Well,
so.
He's the king of dying on the crapper, for sure, you know.
But, I mean, how could you be, you know, I mean, it just seems like Elvis should have, you know, the king should have just, you know, lived by 99, died in his sleep, you know, but.
Well, yeah, it is somewhat undignified to actually expire on the T.T. La-La.
Oh, well, you know, but I don't know, so.
I think your mom probably loved Elvis because her name's Priscilla, too, you know?
Oh, that's right. I never even made that connection, did I?
Yeah,
Well, back then, in the, you know, the 50s and 60s, I mean.
Well, and your mom was kind of a hot little brunette.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she was in her day. Now, you know, she's.
Oh, come on, you've seen pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Of course she was.
Oh, yeah.
Of
are you cutting in? There you are. Now I got you. This this system sometimes cuts in and out. And so I don't want to lose it. But no, this is a great place. Now, you had a blog. How come you don't do anything more? I tried going on.
Actually, I've got kind of a template thing going on, and I'm waiting till after the first of the year. I'm, you know, closing some doors and opening others, you know.
Well, that's good. You know,
time.
You always got to have a door to get open. And, you know, I'm still trying to make it before I retire. You know, I mean, it's one of those things.
When I expire, for heaven's sakes.
But
I don't know if I believe in retirement, really.
I know. What does that really mean? It means you just don't go into a an office and punch a time card. And, I mean,
I really think that, you know, the notion of retirement itself is kind of
it just doesn't
apply anymore in our culture.
Right. It means like it almost seems like, well, that's the end. Now we don't have to do anything. Well, then what's the point? Is it going to sit around and, you know, watch TV all day? I mean, you know.
I don't fucking think so, you know.
Play bingo and.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I can't. You know what I mean? I got too much energy. I still have it.
Yeah, we're creative. We can't envision some sort of retirement. What would that mean?
Well, that would mean, to me, that would mean that I would have to turn my brain completely off, the whole mind, everything.
Yeah,
wouldn't have
yeah.
To,
yeah.
My mind
creative
does not stop.
Creative people never retire. Yeah, creative people don't retire. They just expire.
Yeah, they just, well, they just keep going until they can't go anymore. I mean, and what are you going to do? Like a musician, when they say, oh, I'm going to retire. How does a musician retire? What you know what I mean? I mean, you don't ever play your
yeah.
guitar anymore? I mean, I
yeah.
don't know. Well, they just don't
yeah.
do public appearances. That's, I
yeah.
mean, look at the Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, they're like, what, 96? And they're still out there
at
rocking.
At least. Bless their hearts. And, you know, not everybody has their energy, but hey, when you do, you're productive.
Well,
you're
I mean, I think Keith Richards
yeah.
has had so many drugs in his body that he died somewhere around 1969, but the adrenaline with all the drugs that he has in his body, his heart just can't stop. I mean, this guy,
yeah.
I mean, why he's not dead, I don't know. But hey, they're
all. He looks a little bit dead. He does look a little bit dead, a little bit dried up and husky. But
he's been decomposing since 1969.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know what I like? I just love the fact that these guys are saying, hey, man, we don't care how old we are. We want to play. We're going to go out and play. And you know they're going to fill the stadium. I mean, who's not going to go want to see the Stones? I mean, if they come out in wheelchairs, they'll still get people to come out and see them if they're going to play, you know?
Yeah, why not? You know, hey, maybe we'll go visit them at their retirement home.
Well, yeah. Maybe, you know what? I mean, they're getting to that point where I guess their gigs are going to have to, they're going to have to start going to retirement homes. I mean,
yeah.
they're 80, and they had people their age listening to their music. So they're in retirement homes. I'm sure those people at that age, you know, when we were kids, somebody at, 60 was, that to me was like, that was the end. I mean, you know, 60 was ridiculous. You know,
yeah,
now.
I had a lot of old people in my family. So, I kind of felt like, boy, you know, those old people, yeah, it takes a long time, but gosh, you're going to get to be really crabby and irascible. So
but,
I'm still kind of looking forward to it some point.
Well, 60
I think freedom
now.
Yeah, 60 is like the new 40.
Yeah, I didn't even want to turn. When I turned, I was in the Navy, and I turned 22. That birthday was probably my worst birthday because I thought to myself, you know what? I'm no longer 21. You know, the novelty of going out and having to, you could legally buy beer, but I never had any problem. I was a regular at Fat Tuesdays since, you know, we graduated high school. I never had to worry about getting alcohol. We had Bilo's. We had all those places. We never had to worry about it. And
I knew those tricks. I never knew it.
Oh, man, I never had any trouble you can't do it now. I mean, the way things in society is now, no, you can't.
Oh, no.
You can't get away with that now. I mean, you walk in with a cane and, you know, and you got a beard down to your knees, they still card you, for God's sake. So,
because you try it every day, don't you? You get into your prop and your costume and you see if people are going to card you.
Well, I got carded once. I was 35, and I had to get a pack of cigarettes. I was doing a show, and I needed a pack of cigarettes for the show. And this lady at the supermarket, and I know I look young for my age, but I clearly, at 35, I do not look like I'm under 18, for God's sakes, come on. And this woman, I don't know, she was giving me a heart, she show me your ID. I said, no, I don't have time for this. It was a store close to the theater. I said, I don't have time for this. I said, I just need a pack of cigarettes. It's a prop. You know, I need it now. She goes, well, you know, I need to show your ID. And then the manager comes up there. And I said, look, I don't have time for this. Well, if the lady said you need to see ID, well, we need to see. I said, look at me. Do I really look like I'm under 18? She goes, well, it doesn't matter. We still got a card. I said, screw you. I'm never going to shop in here again. And I left. I went to 7-Eleven. Boom. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Here we got these 14-year-old kids. They got to go need a ID to go buy a pack of cigarettes. But all they got to do is cross the street, and they can buy as much crack as they want. What the hell's the – you know what I mean?
Yeah. It is. It's pretty silly. And it's also – it's kind of like removing the common sense that you can discern – whether or not someone is approximately over 18 or not, in favor of, no, we must have the identification and the verification of everyone.
Well, because what they do is they're afraid that if somebody comes in there who's a cop, maybe I look like a cop or something to them, and they were trying to, and I didn't have time for that. But, I mean, I understand.
Are you wearing their cop gear?
You know, well, they got cops, undercover cops, that go try to bust people for selling to minors. But, you know,
yeah.
I mean, look, if you've got a kid that comes in, he's got his school books in his hand and his backpack, I mean, you're not going to sell the guy a pack of cigarettes. But the guy comes in.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think this theory should be tested. Wouldn't it be fun to engage a variety of people and dress them up in outlandish costumes and see who gets carded?
You know what? You're absolutely, positively, you're right about that. I wonder what...
You've got the costumes. Heck, I've got the costumes. You know, it just takes a camera.
Oh, I got plenty of cameras. I got all kinds of equipment.
Yeah.
I
just got a vintage 16mm camera with all kinds of light gear. And when am I going to shoot 16mm film?
Oh, that 16mm film is getting to the point where it's obsolete anymore. There's not going to be...
Well, it is. And it's like, even though it would be really kind of cool for an art film...
I still like
you know,
the look of film versus... Mm,
mm-hmm.
Because the video is too clean. I don't want to see a flawless diamond. You know what I mean? Every diamond has a flaw. It's got to have a flaw. You need that grit.
Diamond's got a flaw.
I've been trying to come up with a country song with that title. I was thinking about that yesterday, and I couldn't. I need a whole bunch more. But I mean, the whole point is, like, when you listen to these songs now, speaking of Britney Spears, she can't sing, so she sings through a microphone. It's run through about 1,000 computers to make it sound good. And there's no grit. There's no grain. You know what I mean? There's no grain in the voice. I like that, you know, Janis Joplin. Now, that girl, she sang from the heart, man. That's the girl that I always loved, Janis Joplin, when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I remember hearing her on the radio. We were in kindergarten going to swimming lessons, and she was always on the radio. And I, you know, so.
Hey, what is the first song you remember liking from the radio? Do you have a memory that goes back before kindergarten?
Well, it's actually, I think I took, it was actually first grade, but it would be a Janis Joplin, it would be a Piece of My Heart, or Bobby McGee. Bobby McGee, I remember that one. That's probably my earliest song that I actually remember. I just love her voice. That it just, you could just feel that it's coming from everything, coming from inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love
likewise,
listening to people.
It doesn't. And my first song that I remember really liking on my little pink radio was Maggie May by Rod Stewart. Maybe for the same reason, that raspy, weird voice.
Well,
seemed to be coming from his heart, you know?
Well, and old Molly Hatchet, you know, the original singer. I mean, that grit, you know, now it's clean and like, I love the blues, too. And California, there was all kinds of blues. And I love, the dirtier, the sloppier, the grittier. You don't have to be in key. You don't have to be in tune. Just, you know, you sing from inside and the people will hear it, man. It's melody. The melody is from inside. It's not really coming from the instruments. It's coming from, you know, you've got enough feeling through it. It's going to, that melody's going to come through and the people are going to hear it.
Yeah, just like Jimi Hendrix playing the guitar.
Exactly. Love the Hendrix. Love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love, I mean, I wasn't around, you know, I mean, he died in, what, 72? We were in, like, second grade, first grade.
Both, yeah, but we both appreciate
but
brilliance.
You heard the music when you were a kid. They still played music on the radio, and I still remember... I always had the radio on. The radio was always on when I was a kid. I always had it, and I would sit in front of the radio as long as I can remember. And I couldn't go to sleep without the radio. I had a radio I got when I was in, like, I think first grade or something like that, whatever, for Christmas. And that was my friend. It was by my pillow every night.
Yes, me too. I wonder if we have the same one. I bet you didn't have a little pink one. But
no,
my next one was, like, one of those – GE clock radios that had the little scrolling digital thing, so it would go click with the minutes and hours and fold over, you know.
Had it would be the it would like a card, you know, it was just like a Rolodex.
It was like a little Rolodex.
It wasn't really digital. There were no lights, you know. It was
No, it wasn't digital. It was more like
it was
graphics, the numbers, yeah.
And that way you didn't have to go count. Like, see, 30, 35, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and, hell, I can't read it. Who cares, you know? Well, the clock that I have in here, believe it or not, this is I moved upstairs. It's a friend of mine. And I got a big window, but he's got a big clock up here. But the clock is one of those backwards clocks, and it's off by about several, I don't know how many hours, but it goes backwards. So it's got, it goes 12, 1, 2, it goes, everything is backwards on it. So when he first got it, I was sitting there, what the hell? And it used to tell the right time. And I finally figured it out. And then when I looked at a real clock, I would have to think, because I was so used to being able to tell time of reading it backwards that when I saw it for real, I couldn't tell the damn time. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I got to quit looking at that.
It's always about conditioning. We condition ourselves to see what we need to see and learn what we need to learn.
Yeah. Exactly. It's true. And if you don't need to learn, like, you know, that was my problem in school. If it wasn't on the list here that you had to study, I got other things to do. You know, we're in high school. We don't have time for school. No. We got important things.
Yeah.
You know, we're teenagers.
You know, I just saw a picture of you that I had snapped in junior high recently. I ran across it, and my friend said, "Who is that?" I said, "Oh, that's a friend of mine who could wrap his legs around his head." And, you know, I mean, sometimes you just can't, there's evidence, man.
Was that when I was
sit around with your legs around your head?
Yeah, I was very flexible. I can't, I've been through too many car accidents in the last one. No, I can't do that.
Can't do it anymore? Man, I almost can do it.
I can still flip my feet backwards like I used to be able to do. I used to start out, I used to entertain my brothers, so I just tried to see what I could do, so I used to stick my foot in my mouth to see if I can get my entire foot in my mouth, and my two brothers sit there and laugh and look at me do this stupid stuff.
Yes, you've always done things to amuse and entertain. It's part of who you are, Captain. Yeah.
But then it turned out, let me just see if I could stick this thing around my head. So I used to stick it around my head. Okay, and then I'd be able to hop around. And then in high school, they buddies would say, you know, be in a store, and I'd be able to stand up, put one of my legs around my head and stand up and, you know, be looking like I'm looking for stuff. And people would walk by and be like, look at this guy just standing here looking at stuff. He's got a leg around his head. And they're like, what the hell? Oh, God.
I wonder if any of your nephews possess that uncanny flexibility, because it would be nice to get that kind of stuff on film. Hopping around in a store on one leg.
Yeah, I can't do that no more. That, like I said, my body just is broken down. But I don't think so. I think my brother would tell me if...
Yeah, if there was some sort of flexibility gene.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just that my backbone wasn't fully developed. And now
I don't know. I think you had a long torso, too. So that probably helped because you could bend.
Yeah, I just was very, you know, when we played football and in PE, the stretches that they did absolutely nothing for me. I was like, I got to go a little bit more. I mean, this is nothing. I mean, this doesn't even do anything. You know, I never could do the splits. I tried it, but I'm sure I probably could have practiced and done it, but I never was able to do the splits. How can you put your legs around your head, but you can't do the splits? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just a different kind of flexibility. I could never do the splits either.
I could flip my feet backwards and stand up.
I can, too, a little bit. I can flip my feet pretty far backwards.
Yeah. But I don't know where the hell that came from. Nobody in my family.
Especially back in those days, I could have never put my legs around my neck because of my boobs, you know? I mean, can you imagine?
That'd be a hell of a feat, man.
Yeah,
Speaking of which, when we actually first met, seventh grade, Mr. Coggle.
Great, Mr. Coggle's room, yes.
I wonder what what mental institution that man is into today.
I understand that he's, you know, probably a loner and hermit-like.
He reminds me of somebody. I'm just waiting for him to be a suspect in a mass shooting of sorts. You know what I'm saying?
More Unabomber, I'm thinking. Bless his heart.
Something like that. You know,
I kind of, with my adult eyes, as I look back on that poor soul, I think, he kind of brought it on himself, but, you know, it was not really best for him to be trying to guide and instruct a bunch of 12-year-olds.
He should have been in more high school where the kids were a little bit, you know, more.
I think we were just too rambunctious for his laissez-faire attitude about discipline.
But
and,
our class, every one of us in our class, we were like the sweat hogs, man. I mean, it was.
I
loved it because it was our class, and I mean, we didn't. I mean, look, looking back, should I have done 99.9% of the percent of the things that I did? No, but you know, I guess you got to live and learn.
Well, but some of those things that you did were probably not so bad.
Right.
What things are you talking about that you shouldn't have done?
Well, just being a total disruption in the classroom. I mean, it didn't take much.
Well, but I think sometimes it's important.
But we had Larson and Bonnell and Greg McLean and Eric Fleet. And, you know, I mean, we had Jimmy Drew. We had everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
I remember Jimmy Drew jammed that pencil in, I think it was Jeff Spence's hand. Oh, my God.
I think, why was that? Was it some teasing that happened? And
Jimmy Drew just had enough.
Kind of snapped. He had
enough. He was saying, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. He wouldn't, and took a pencil and jammed it in his hand. And
as I recall, he was also a booger eater. So, he was in his own little world.
But we all liked him because he was the only one in the class who was, you know, like really intelligent. So we'd, you know, try to cheat off the guy. But sometimes he wouldn't let you, but I hated people who wouldn't let you cheat on him. You know, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I was pretty smart, too. I don't think you realized it, though, because of my boobs.
Well, we were all actually smart, and I am smart. It's just a matter of do I apply myself or not. And at that age, I wasn't ready to apply myself because puberty just blew me away, man. Fifth, sixth grade, it started, and it just – by the time I hit junior high, I was a mess, man. Mom finally, after eighth grade, she had to send me away to California with a church group. She says, you're gone for 3 weeks. You're gone. Out.
You got banished with the church group.
Yeah, she said, you're going, and there's nothing you can say. You come back with a, you know, get your freaking head on straight, kid. And, you know, and it was fun, and I did learn a lot, and I'm glad that I went on that. I'm glad I got away, you know, and then I came back, and in the ninth grade, I was a little bit more, I was refreshed, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, you were a little bit more diligent and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I never really did anything. I got suspended a lot for being a...
Did you?
Yeah.
You got suspended, huh? I got an in-school suspension one time, and
I didn't think it was fair,
but I got detention every once in a while, too, mostly because, frankly, I tend to not enjoy bullshit, and so I might have said a few things that were, you know, pretty disrespectful, and I got caught flipping off our music teacher.
Who was that, Mr. Coffee?
Coffee, yes. And I think, you know, basically he just seemed to be frustrated with a large choir class. And, yeah, sometimes those large classes, you just can't help it.
Well, why'd you flip him off? He wouldn't let you sing?
Oh, no, I think he felt I was being disruptive and just made me sit in front of the class. And then as he was flouncing off and being pissed off about something, I flipped him off behind his back, and he saw out of the corner of his eyes, and I was in trouble.
Well, you know, my problem was, is I grew up in the school district. Mom was always, you know, with the grade school, so going to school with her and always being around, all of her friends were teachers. My neighbors directly across the street were teachers, and I had them in my class. I'd get in trouble there. And she'd come across, Mrs. Boxberger, your son. And I was like, oh, my God. So I never, you know, and it finally it dawned on me. And I'm glad, you know, once I finally got out of high school, then I realized, okay, you know, it's time you got to start changing. And, you know, the older I get, I look back at some of the stupid stuff that I did, especially in the Navy. You know, I'm glad I survived this stuff, and I'm glad I made it. But there's a lot of lessons to be learned, and the older I get, I learn a lot quicker because I don't have the luxury. I can't learn the lesson the hard way anymore. What I mean? I can't afford it. Not only that, my body is broken down. I cannot physically do it. Mentally, I can't do it. And
so
it's all about living and learning.
You want to do, you just read the book, huh?
No, but I mean, it's a point of... you know, it took me forever to, you know, figure some of these things out, and I'm glad that I figured them out. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's always all kinds of lessons to learn, but I believe in, hey, man, you can't ever learn anything unless you fail it. How can you succeed at something unless you fail at it first? You know, you got to fall on your face. And
try it, for heaven's sakes. You know,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes
you might get lucky.
It really irritates me sometimes when people express something that they'd like to do, and clearly they can certainly do that if they want to, but yet for whatever reason they're fearful of even making an attempt. And, you know, no fear. Just do
well,
it, for heaven's sake.
The thing about it is, and I try to test myself anymore, especially when, you know, when I got deeper into theater, you know, you got to get rid of that. You can't be afraid to screw up. You cannot be afraid to make a mistake. And
yeah.
if you're afraid to make, like an athlete, if an athlete is afraid to get hurt, invariably they're going to get hurt. If you're afraid
yeah.
to make a mistake, invariably you are going to make a mistake. So what? You make a mistake, you learn from it. No matter what you do, you learn. Either you do it right or you do it wrong. Either way, you learn.
And
so,
who's to say what's right or wrong? You know,
exactly.
I mean,
what is right? What is good? What is bad? I mean, I guess society has come up with, you know, with something, but it seems to change on a whim. And all, you know, it's very subjective. So
yes. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one person's right is another person's wrong.
But
and,
if everybody would just listen to me, then the whole world would be perfect.
Yeah. If they listen to, you know what? I think if people just listened to themselves.
Exactly.
Took a moment. Took a moment and critically assessed their own, you know, whatever.
You're right on the
money. I think we could maybe be a little bit nicer to one another and a little bit more respectful of who we are and what we are and what we're here to do, you know?
Well, see, that comes to, and I still think about this, and I'm still trying to figure it out, and I don't think I'll ever figure it out, but so it's a journey. But, I mean, in order for you want people to respect you, you must first respect yourself. And this is what I talk about. I don't consider anybody, there's no such thing as African-American, Chinese-American. No, 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 you're an American. That's the only group we got. We got your people. You're just an American citizen. Okay, I don't care. It doesn't matter what your stupid color is. We all come in all different kinds of flavors. We come in every different kinds of size, shape, everything. So you're an American. I don't like putting everybody in groups. You can't fit me in a group. I am just completely unique, and I want to stay that way. You know,
yeah,
I don't,
you're completely unrestrained in a group.
I don't want to be.
I think, you know, honestly, I really think that I've kind of always expanded my view by, hey, we're all human, too, because,
right.
you know, as far as that goes,
that's it.
I'm an American. But I've been other places, and you have
right.
too, and you've seen that, gosh, people are kind of people, depending
wherever
on, you know, what they
right.
know and where they've been. And sometimes
people,
you can have a great conversation with somebody who can't even read or write, you know.
Hey, people laugh, they cry, they go to the bathroom just like everybody else. If you're a human
uh-huh.
being.
There's plenty of farting.
You know, everywhere. Everybody
does.
Everywhere
in the world, there's farting.
God, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, good yes. almighty. But no, I mean, hey, you know, if you really think about it, I mean, people are people. Why
mm-hmm.
people are, why we still have war, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You would think by how many thousands of years or millions of years, depending on what science book you read or when we started, when we came, I don't know. I don't care. I wasn't there when it happened. So I didn't have one of those Instamatic Polaroids with me to bring back, you know, no flying DeLorean. So I don't know exactly when it was. It doesn't really matter. It's not the point. You know, we're all people. We share the same thing. I think we can figure out a way to do stuff without a war. I hate war. I don't want it. We don't need it. I'm sick of this knockout game with people. I'm sick of.
Oh gosh!
What
you
the
know,
hell's
and, going on? I think what it is too is it's people playing games with other people's lives. You know,
I don't like watching
thinking,
people hurt.
Yeah, people thinking that it's a good idea to mess around and amuse themselves with other people's lives. And
well,
it's just not very nice.
It's all about control. Everybody's got to be control over people. You don't. You can't control me because, first of all, I'm the only one that controls me. And I'm out of control. So, I mean, there you are with that. But
you're
I don't want
to control.
I am. I don't want to control anybody. I don't want a slave. That would be, you know what I mean? I don't want that, you know. I don't need that kind of power.
Yeah.
I'm a simpleton.
It's better to be a simpleton than a, you know, a jerk.
Hey, you know, look, jets and nice fancy boats and houses and cars and all this stuff. Okay, yeah, that's kind of cool, but, you know, I don't know. I like the stuff that, the gifts that you can't wrap and put under a tree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
to
me
receive
too.
Those gifts, and I like to give those kinds of gifts. Well, you know, you gotta gift yourself, too. You can't gift yourself. You're no good to anybody else. You gotta, you know. But sometimes, even though you do screw up, you still gotta find a way to, you know, work around it, learn from it. And
now, what gift have you given yourself this holiday season?
You know, that's a very interesting question. Very, very interesting. I still got till eight shopping hours left. Or 10 shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I normally used to buy myself a gift every year. I would buy myself a toy. I got plenty of Tonka trucks. I've got all different kinds of toys. But the last couple of years, I haven't bought myself a toy. I don't know. I got no room to fit it anyway. But No, that's I need to give myself something this year. I guess a New Year's resolution, too. You know, I hate those. I can never follow those. Oh, I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. Yeah, it'll last for about, 10 minutes, you know?
Well, and, you know, resolutions always seem to be about quitting something instead of starting something.
Exactly.
You know?
I was just about ready to go there. Our minds are thinking exactly.
I know. We're peas in a pod. We're pod mates.
Oh, my goodness. No, I mean, you're absolutely so right.
Well,
you know,
people focus so much on, you know, negative things or bad things. Or pardon me. But, you know, sometimes you got to make a commitment just to do something that's better for you, you know.
Well, see, the problem I had with in the theater, everything, and it drives me nuts, and I hated it in college, and I never paid attention to this. You can't say Macbeth, you can't do this, you can't whistle, you can't walk around a ladder a certain way, and you got to have this, and you got to, no, all this stuff is going to bring bad luck. I never liked that when I was a kid. I was like, well, why can't we do something that'll bring us good luck? Why is it if we do something, we're going to get bad luck? I don't want to have to keep that. I don't like to have a bunch of superstitions, because you do something, you know, there's nothing wrong with a routine, but when that routine goes into superstition and you're relying on this stupid thing, otherwise it's not going to happen, well then, I don't know, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't live my life like that.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what we learned from Stevie Wonder in that song, Superstition.
No.
You know, superstition ain't the way.
Nope.
Hey.
Well, I mean, routine is okay, fine. I've got my certain routines that I do. Okay, and if I don't do it, I'm thinking, oh, and then I realize, look, you idiot, it's not going to, you know. I broke that habit in the theater. I would do certain little things before I went on, and I said, you know what, I can't keep doing this. You know, and I don't like all that. You can't say Macbeth or this, just bring bad luck. It's like, come on. Do something that'll bring us good luck. But no, you make a very valid point. So
maybe we could just think of something subversive and fun as our resolution instead of, you know, something subversive and fun, such as I will indulge my love of grapefruit in the future.
I love grapefruit. I'm a grapefruit.
I love grapefruit. I've been avoiding it, but you know, I think I'd rather eat grapefruit than take medication that you can't eat grapefruit with.
Well, I love grapefruit, and you can't get grapefruit out here in New York. It's $2 a grapefruit. They're not that big, and they're all gushy and gooey and nasty. So Mom sends me grapefruit every once in a while. She sent me some for Christmas, and, of course, it didn't last very long. I had to, you know, eat them. But, produce out here in New York is ridiculous. I mean, avocados are out of this world. And I'm thinking, my God, Florida's what? Two-hour plane ride? Come on, bring up some avocados here. Come on.
You know, I think it's funny, though, because when I've traveled to New York, I think that maybe because, you know, the population is pretty dense and stuff, it seemed to me like you could get really pretty good cheap restaurant food kind of discouraged people from actually cooking themselves, you know? And plus, space, just the space and all of the stuff that, if you don't live in a tiny, tiny, you know, apartment or whatever, you can't have, you know, your paella pan and your lasagna pan. You know, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, maybe it's expensive. To get food, to get actual groceries, because, you know, it's cheaper just to go where they can buy in bulk and prepare
it
for you.
New York City alone, if you're going to go into New York City, you have to pay to get into New York City. There's one freeway to get into New York City if you've got a car. But everything you do in New York City, you pay. I mean, to park. I mean, a half a day is like $50 to park a day.
Yeah.
And the food and everything. But I love New York City. If I had my druthers, I would live in New York City. But I don't have my druthers yet. But I'm still working on that day, man. Like I told you, I got to make it before I retire. And
maybe we just need to have a commune. We have a commune in New York City.
I'm just going to – look, to me, I think life is just a journey, and it's up to you where you go. There's only one seat on the bus, man, and you got to take it. You're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the bus goes over a cliff, it's your fault. So as long as you're on the road and you're moving, eventually you will wind up in your destination. I do believe that.
Yeah.
As long as you're on the road and you continue to move, eventually you're gonna arrive. So I'm still on the bus, man, and I'm still driving. I'm on the road, man. Flat tires and all.
You're
driving
on your bus. on your radio.
Oh, man.
You hear some Janis Joplin. And there you go.
I gotta do some house cleaning in the studio here, and I got a couple songs that I gotta do. But I want to thank you very much for calling, and wish you a very, very, very Merry Christmas.
Very Merry Christmas to you too, Captain.
Take it
easy, man.
All right, hey, if you see anybody that I know, wish them a Merry Christmas, too. So
I will. I certainly will.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was very interesting. I didn't expect that. Well, good for her. That's an old friend of mine, Victoria Newbill. I've known her since, we were 12 years old. So good friend of mine in Vancouver, Washington. She's an artist. She's a good singer. She's a good friend. She's good people, period. That conversation is over. So, in any event, I just want to thank you for giving us a call here. I've got to do a couple of things. We've got some audio clips that I got to get into. We got some stuff that I know it's Christmas, but we still got to cover the news. There's nothing we can do about it. So, in any event, we're gonna play a little song here. Let's get into some funky blues here a little bit here. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about here. Get a little backdoor Santa action going. All right. Give it up.
day. I said they call me back door Santa, make my runs about the break of day. I make all the ladies happy while the men are out at play. But I'll come running with my presents every time you call me dear. I keep some change in my pocket in case the children are at home. I give them a few pennies so we can be alone. I leave the back door open so if anybody smells them out, would no Santa be in trouble if it ain't no chimney in the house. Make my runs about the break of day. I make the women happy while the men are out at play.
Song in a million years. I love the blues, man. I like good old sloppy blues. I like any of that stuff. Anyway, now we got to get back to work here. Christmas or no, we got work to do. So in any event, what did we say? We had started talking about things in our stockings, nice things in our stockings this year. Well, one good thing is the Obama administration has quietly extended the health care bill for one more day. That's all we need. One more day, and we can make it all better. It's not going to be any better. People don't want it. It doesn't work. It's too expensive. Get rid of it. How about that,
stocking stuffer?
Get rid of the damn thing. It doesn't take very much to see that it doesn't work. This is what I just cannot figure out about government. They know for a fact that something doesn't work and it's far too expensive and we can't afford it, but they flat refuse to change it. Well, we can't. Well, why? Well, because that would mean that we made a mistake and we'd have to admit it. Oh, so you're just going to continue costing the American people trillions of friggin' dollars, ruining people's lives and livelihoods just because you can't come out and say you made a mistake? This is the kind of crap that we can no longer have in this country. We need to get rid of that. My God. Come on. Oh, one more day. What is that one more day going to do? How about that 29-hour work week? Huh? The Santa gave you this year because your employer couldn't afford to pay for free abortions for their employees? Yeah. How's that for a stocking stuffer? Yeah, I'm sure you like that. How about those audits that the IRS was handing out? How about those stocking stuffers? Yeah. Yeah, how about that shredded copy of the Bill of Rights Santa put in every one of our stockings this year? How about that one? Well, that's much better than a Tonka truck. That's a hell of a toy, man. Little girls, you don't need no Dolly the Wets. Ah, little boys, you don't need no truck or no train. Ah, here's a copy of the redacted Bill of Rights. Merry Christmas. Have a happy friggin' New Year, too. Yeah. I bet Al-Qaeda's even celebrating Christmas this year, too. Yeah, thanks, Santa, for those 400 surface-to-air missiles that we can now use against you. Blow away your planes and your buildings. Which you think for 1 second these people are not going to use those 400 surface-to-air missiles against the United States? Hello. And now we got this Susan Rice with this false controversy? What? What the hell is that? False controversy? I mean, how do they get up in the morning? How do they muster that much arrogance inside them that they would call Benghazi? Yeah, I know. It was only four that died. I know. It wasn't like it was a whole bunch. They knew what they were getting into. They knew it was one of the hottest areas on planet Earth. They knew that the Red Cross was moved out, the British moved out, everybody moved out, and the terrorists moved in, but here's the United States. Everybody moved out, including our security forces. You've got 400 surface-to-air missiles. You better make a lot of friggin' security. Hello. Those 400 surface-to-air missiles is a lot of... Well, they can do a lot of damage. Like a lot of damage. We better have some security. Where was that security, Miss Hitman Clinton? Huh? Huh, Hills? Huh, sweetie? Huh? No, that's all right. You can put your pantsuit down. Yeah, you don't need another one. No. Pay attention. Look at me, sweetheart. Where? What happened to the security that you got rid of, huh? Why did you do that, honey, huh? This woman wants to run for president? President of what? D Block? That's where you belong, Miss Hillary Hitman Clinton. You belong in D Block. All right, so here we are. This is Susan Rice. You're not going to believe this woman. I mean, this is just absolutely... Here she's on with, again, 60 Minutes. Of course, this is another slobber fest, and she's up there. They're still defending this in a backwards kind of way. She's still defending this stupid video thing. Oh, the talking points of this. Oh, no. It was a false controversy. How is it a false controversy, sweetheart? All right, go ahead and play this stupid thing. Let's get her over with.
I don't have time to think about a false controversy. In
yeah,
the midst
so
of all of the swirl about things like talking points, the administration's been working very, very hard across the globe to review our security of our embassies and our facilities. That's what we ought to be focused on.
Well, maybe you should have been focusing on that security, I don't know, let's say, perhaps, in the friggin' beginning? Hello? And you don't have time to think about a false controversy? You don't have time to think about how you lied. You lied for an administration. And doing so, you got a promotion to keep you from, well, spilling the beans. So this is all part of your contract. You got to go out there and continue to sell it. Oh, it's a false controversy. How can these people be so arrogant to think that the American people are that stupid that they would believe this? Oh, you can keep your doctor in your plan. Oh, yeah, it's only 5%, just a tiny little bitty smidgen. No. Don't worry, but just a tiny little bit. Yeah, we're going to bomb Syria, but it's just going to be a tiny little bit. We don't even know where they are. No. I mean, it's absolutely... I can't understand how these people have... how do you muster up that much arrogance that you would go out and continue a lie that everybody knows is a lie? Just because you were afraid to admit that you made a mistake? That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. Especially when you realize what you did was wrong and now you know what to do to fix it and you get it fixed. Instead of dumping more money into it and just keep hiring new people, what the hell that's going to do with healthcare? They got another manager. There's another person in charge. Well, you've got a secretary. She's supposed to be the one in charge. Well, they needed this manager, and then this, and this, and this, and this. They've got all these people that are supposedly in charge. No wonder nothing gets done. And now you want single payer? I mean, these people can't even handle this, and you want now the government to run everybody? I mean, come on, people. You can't, No, come on. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on and on and on, but I think you get the point. Well, I do have a little bit of stocky stuffer in here. Let me take a look. What is that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I think you're going to like this one. This girl here, this is my girl. I mean, I know I got a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls that I got. This one here, I just, this girl, this Deneen Borelli, I'm terrible with names. I just seen her. She's on Fox every once in a while. She comes on there. But what I love about this woman is she's not there to make friends. She's not there to play any little games. She's there to tell the frickin' truth. And she's serious about it. She's not going to back down. It's like, no, I'm not here to be playing any games. I'm not here to be, playing these little ha-ha, hee-hee, ho-ho, and, let y'all get along. No. I'm here to tell the truth. And that's what she does. This is my girl. She's a best-selling author of the book Blacklash. And she goes up against the snake, Juan Williams, which I can't stand this guy. I mean, these are the guys, they just talk over you. They don't want you to actually speak. Because if you do, you might accidentally slip out the truth, and they don't want anybody to hear the truth. So they just keep talking about absolutely nothing, and they try to talk over you. And then they say, well, I can't get a word in edgewise. Well, you're not getting any words in. You're just talking. You're not saying anything. Shut up. Shut up and speak already, for God's sakes. So anyway, this girl, which I love the fact she has no fear. I got a couple of clips of this girl. This is the first one. And it goes to show you, this girl is not backing down. She is not going to let old Snake Williams there bully her and talk over her and let her actually get the truth out. Well, she's going to get the truth out, and she did get the truth out. And she stood there right with that face, man. She was serious. She wasn't laughing, wasn't smiling. She wasn't playing any games, man. This girl was here to do – she was on a mission, and she was going to do her job. And here she is. Go ahead and go.
Government takes care of the president. And you know what? This is another example where, I think we're engaged in so many kind of kabuki wars here. He's enrolling to make a show that he is willing to participate in the plan and, to make a show of this. In fact, people who have money like that, this is not what we're talking about. Most Americans aren't impacted by this unless the insurance companies jack up the rate.
Are you kidding me? 6 million Americans have lost their health care coverage. It's estimated that 75 million will lose their employer-based insurance coverage next year. How can you say that? Those numbers are staggering.
I'll tell you, Deneen. No, look, 75 to 80% of Americans get their insurance through their private
employer. Those numbers are staggering,
employer.
Juan. Is this
no,
what
I'm
the White
telling,
House told you when
no,
you
no,
met with
Deneen,
them last month?
Deneen, you
are
just
you
said
kidding
six
me?
To, Deneen, you just said 6 to 7 million.
Have
that's
lost
in the individual
insurance,
market.
Their private
that's a very,
insurance. They were
okay,
happy
Deneen,
with their insurance, Juan. Why do they need the government telling them what to do?
Deneen,
this is America.
You're going, You're going way off point.
No,
you
I'm
just
not
said,
off point.
Hang on. You just said most Americans. Clearly, most Americans are not impacted by this.
I didn't say most anything. I said 6 million. You
that's
said that.
That's true. 6 to 6 million. And that's what we come down to.
75 million is a big number. That's next
year's
estimate.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, what we have here is most people who've had their policies canceled.
You, how can you defend the undefendable?
Can I speak for a second? I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, of the people who had their policies canceled, 6 to 7 million you're
they
talking about.
They were happy with their insurance. That's what you're not hearing me.
Okay. Can I finish the point for once? I
go.
Just wanted to say to you that those 6 to 7 million people, most of them have now gotten new policies under the Obamacare plan.
And
it
costs more.
No,
some of them won't be able to go to their same doctor.
It doesn't always cost more. And
White
here's
House
the thing that I find
point.
Really interesting is, you know, the Obama people
good
realizing
job,
how they've screwed up. They are constantly trying to change the plan. They've extended the deadline now an extra day
they
for when you can get
the
coverage.
They keep changing the rules on everyone. People are so confused. No one has any idea. It's Christmas Eve tomorrow.
Okay, can I finish a point
really
for one?
People really want to be trying to logging on to get health insurance.
All right.
When they
oh, my God. I love this girl. Oh, my God. You know, she's right. And good for her for not bowing down to that Juan Williams. I can't stand those people that do that crap. Every lib, that's their job. Just talk over people. Don't worry about the facts or the evidence. Just win the argument by talking over them so they can't actually get the truth out. What's the point of having a discussion or an argument if you're not allowed to get the truth out? I don't understand. That's why I can never be a Democrat. I can never be a liberal. I don't understand that mindset. But this girl was not going to have – she was going to have none of it. And good for her. She was not backing down. I mean, first of all, they're talking about the president pro tempore, Barry Satoro, signs up symbolically for Obamacare, which makes no stupid sense. Or Satoro care, I should say, actually. But it makes no stupid sense whatsoever. He's not in it. It means absolutely nothing. What the hell is the point? First of all, why would you do it? Who's going to believe it, first of all? And symbolically signing up? What the hell does that mean? He was in Hawaii. His aides did it in Washington. Well, I mean, what the... Come on! No, then it takes the actual person who's supposed to do it. Come on. I mean, this is just a joke. Oh, because the president pro tempore symbolically signed up for Obamacare? That means now I'm all energized? I got to go out and sign up for Obamacare now? I get one more day? Oh, this is beautiful. I mean, what? I mean, it's just presidents aren't in it. They got their own military health care. Why would you... Who is good? Why would you want to watch this? I mean, this is just what? It's stupid. And now we're talking about it. Well, I'm talking about it. Let's quit talking about it. God Almighty. All right, now let's listen to the second one here. She's still at it. This girl is not letting this guy get away with a damn thing. And good for her. I love this girl. All right, let's play cut number two. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. And if you look right now, Americans are down on Obamacare because they realize the rollout has been such a failure. But what I'm saying to you is what you see in terms of all these changes that the Obama people keep making, they try to create more. Can I finish? They keep trying to create more options for Americans. And you would think that people on the Republican side would say, well, gee, that's what we want. We want this program to work.
This is
common
sense. Obamacare is not working. It's harming hardworking Americans, and government needs to get out of our lives. That's what I think.
I think it's making you obsessive, Denise.
And you got the White House talking points down very well. Congratulations.
I don't have any.
And she's right. He's got the White House talking points down. Yes, that's him. He's a talking pointer. That's all you get from liberals. You don't get anything from the heart. Like me and Vicky were talking about earlier, musicians. Nothing comes from the heart anymore. Everything is plastic. Everything is fake. Everything's got to be run through a computer. No. It's got to be run through your heart. That's where it counts. You got to run it right through your heart. If it doesn't go through your heart, it's just going to go out your ass. And that's it. But this girl speaks right from the heart. She's telling the truth and not afraid to tell the truth. which is very refreshing, especially in the Republican Party anymore. We know we've lost the Democratic Party. We lost them a long time ago. But at least the Republican Party, I mean, anymore, they're afraid.
We just want to get along. We don't want any more bad press. And if the government shut down, we're going to lose in another election. No, people aren't going to be worried about that.
Look, you shut 17% of the government down, and the parts that you did shut down were bogus. You went out purposely to block the viewing of a 24/7 monument that is open-air monument for the people that actually stormed the beaches of Normandy, and you knew they were coming, and you purposely spent more money, more resources than security normally has to block these people, these men, these soldiers from seeing their memorial. Meanwhile, on closed government land, you're allowing illegal aliens, people that have crossed our border illegally, to come in and protest our government for not making them citizens. Well, they don't deserve to be citizens if they're going to be doing that. No way. I'm sorry. You don't come over here illegally and then protest a government because they didn't automatically make you a citizen. You don't deserve citizenship for that. Especially the men over here who can't see their memorial, who fought for people, immigrants, legal immigrants, to come over here to be citizens. You don't deserve what they fought for. I'm sorry, you don't. You start respecting our laws, our way of life, our people. Yeah, okay, fine. You're welcome. You're welcome into the country. But if you're not going to do it the right way, like we all had to, all of our ancestors had to, then no. You're not going to respect us. You're not going to respect our laws, respect our country, respect our way of life. Then no. And then you're going to protest our government? No, no, no. And our government allowed this to happen? That's even more disturbing. That's even more disturbing. But Susan Rice, I mean, how can she come on here and actually defend that? Who's really going to buy that? I mean, who are the people out there at this point who still have any faith in the Obama administration? Anybody? Any administration, the EPA, all of them. Health and Human Services, anybody have any faith in Kathleen Sebelius? I mean, how many new people have they hired to get to do the job and they still can't get it done? What's the point of a Health and Human Services secretary? If she's not in charge of anything, she's not doing anything, what the hell's the point? Get rid of her. Get rid of the whole goddamn department, as far as I'm concerned. We need to get rid of a lot of agencies in our government. We definitely need to scale down that EPA. No, you get a test tube and a clipboard. You make recommendations. And if you make a recommendation that somebody needs to do something by a certain time, well, you better have a goddamn good explanation of how they're going to get there. You don't just say you got to get there without a path to get there. Just because you deem it so does not mean that it is. And now we have to buy mercury-laden baby-killing light bulbs from China? Why did you sign that in? Did you not think about this before you signed this in? Well, you were thinking about being the Democrats' friends and maybe somebody on the left might like you. They're not going to like you. You're on the right. They hate you. Why did you do this, Mr. Bush? I want to hear an explanation. I think you're a good guy. You know, there's a lot of things that you did wrong. There's a lot of things that a lot of presidents did wrong. But this one here, that's the problem with the left and the right. Yeah, did George Bush make a lot of mistakes? Okay, yeah, he did. All of them do. But the left can't see the real mistakes that George Bush made. They blame him for stuff that most of the stuff they blame him for, he didn't even had nothing to do with it. They can't see his real stuff that he did wrong, like constant overspending. like forcing us to buy light bulbs that are filled with mercury and you can't drop them and you got to evacuate the room and clean it up a certain way and put on a hazmat suit and throw it out into the garbage a certain way. We need two plastic bags, but if you're in San Francisco, I don't know what the hell you're going to do because plastic bags are illegal. Also, plastic bags. Oh, speaking of San Francisco, it's also going to be illegal this year. You can't burn wood in your fireplace on Christmas this year in San Francisco. Yeah. Put away the chestnuts. Put away the eggnog. No. Yeah. Put away those little sexy teddies that you got for your husband. Yeah, put them away. Yeah. Yeah. Put them away. You can't build a fire. Put away the wine and the cheese and all that. You can't burn a fire on Christmas. Let's find out what the hell this is here. Tuesday will be the 17th winter spare the air day of the season. Winter spare the air? How about spare me from projectile vomiting all over my equipment? Winter spare the air? And the Air District will decide that day whether wood burning will also be banned on Christmas. The weather forecasts looks like we might see another spare the air day for Christmas Day. Oh, I get it. If there's a little bit too much of this, you can't do this and you can't do that. Oh, God, these people. With the amount of wind in San Francisco, I'm pretty sure that wind is going to pick that any smoke up that is, you know, so environmentally harming. It's going to pick it up, it's going to carry it a long ways away, and it's going to dissipate by the time it gets there. My God, these people live in San Francisco. You don't know how windy it is? Come on. The worst sunburn I ever got was the windburn I got in San Francisco. Unbelievable. Unbelievable pain. I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. I was a young quartermaster. We're outside on the bridge wing. I'm taking bearings off of certain places of land and reporting it inside to the bridge so they can take a fix and find out where in the hell we're at so we don't run the ship aground. We're pulling into port. San Francisco is a very... You got to be on your toes. It's a very thick, very heavy, very mean, nasty, dirty, rotten current that runs through there. And you got to turn all the way left full rudder, in order to turn right. It's crazy. So, in any event, we're out there. I mean, it is windy. And we get done with the sea detail. We finally, you know, we moor up. I was like, I go down to the berthing. I'm like, oh, my God, my face hurts. It just burns. And I look in the mirror, and it just beat bright red. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. God, I've never been through so much. That was the most painful sunburn. That was a windburn. That was horrible. So I don't see any problem. I don't care. I don't need to be in San Francisco. I don't need to be a smokeologist. I'm sick and tired of people who are thinking, well, this is hurting the environment. We're going to save the environment. No, you're not saving anything. You're just being stupid. You get a little bitty piece of authority and you take it to the nth degree. For what? To look important? You're not important. You look like an idiot. Ban wood burning. Oh, God almighty. Well, it might be good for Santa. I mean, he wouldn't want to come down the chimney with a fire in it. I'm just saying. All right. Let's see what the hell we got here today. Fed sees surge in children crossing the U.S. border amid concerns over immigration policy. Gee, weren't we talking about that? Haven't we talked about that before? I know I've been talking about it. What the hell is the matter with this government when they are allowing, facilitating children, for Christ's sakes, children being smuggled into the United States by drug cartels. We know that for a fact. Not all of them are drug cartels. Yes, we understand that. But a lot of them are. Probably, more than likely, I would venture to say that the overwhelming vast majority of them are. And it doesn't matter if they are or they're not. Smuggling children across the border, I don't care, man. You're smuggling kids, man. That's I don't care if there's no real good intentions for that. That is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Not to mention against the friggin' law. And our government is facilitating this. Not only is it against the law now, which this president has deemed fit to sign another executive order, stopping Border Patrol from arresting human traffickers. Anybody crossing the Border Patrol is not allowed to arrest them. Now, you tell me. How is that not treason against the country? Not protecting its border. Isn't that... Let me see. Let me see if it has... let me see right here. See, I'm looking in the unredacted copy of the Constitution, and I want to see if it's still there. I just want to make sure. Let's see. A more perfect union, yes, 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 yes. A more perfect union, yes. It's going to continue to get better. Let's see. Established. All right, here it is. There it is, right there, right after domestic tranquility. You know, the tranquility they have in what Mr. Satoro, his community that he organized in Chicago. Yeah, that kind of domestic tranquility. Right here it is. Provide for the common defense. In a post-9/11 era where there's lots of terrorists out there and lots of people that don't like the United States, don't you think that providing for the common defense would mean at least some semblance of security on our borders? And don't you think that providing the common defense would also mean that you would not sign an executive order making it illegal for the Border Patrol to arrest human traffickers, even though their human traffic is children? And you're telling me that is not a violation of the United States Constitution? Well, let's just say that it isn't. Don't you think that violates a whole bunch of other civil laws? I mean, I don't have to be a lawyer to know that, and I don't think you do either. Pretty sure that violates a whole big bunch of civil laws. Depending on now you've gone through how many different states to get up to where are these ones at? I think this was in Kentucky down south somewhere. So you know they've crossed the border from different states. Now that's a federal offense. I mean, my God, what has this government done? I mean, again, that's just one out of very, 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 very many. How many times does this government have to violate this Constitution before we start talking the real word, which is impeachment? I'm sorry, I don't like to say that word. I don't like to be here. I didn't support the Nixon one as a kid, even though I hardly knew what the hell was going on, but I knew enough. I didn't support the Clinton mess, blue stained dress and all. I didn't. That was just a waste of time. I didn't think that was necessary. I didn't support it then. I really don't support it now. This I do support. This is not a blue stained dress scandal. These are real scandals. It's not a false controversy, Ms. Rice. Our president is a false prophet. And it's time to recognize it. The Messiah. This is not his birthday. He is a false prophet. It's time to cut our ties with this whole experiment, this whole bizarre liberal total control. Let me get all the power and all control over everybody. And only those that are in the government, they got the only ones with anything. And everybody else, all the subjects, everybody's got to be poor. But it's got to be equal. The only people that can have anything, any kind of luxuries, are the government, because they won an election. They're smart. They went to college. They're intelligent. They've got all the answers. You don't need to have any answers until they give them to you. But we don't need a society like that, and I'm not going to live in a country like that. I will fight tooth and nail. I will fight, claw, scrape. No. I will not comply. And if it means I got to go on the lam to do it, I don't care. Fine. I'm a little hyperbolic, but my point is I'm just flat not going to live in a country that isn't free. And why should we? Why should we live in a country where our government can just bypass the Constitution anytime it feels like it? Bypass the Constitution? Well, no. You don't need freedom of speech. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need to promote the general welfare. We don't need common defense. We don't need domestic tranquility. We love civil unrest. Yeah. Well, we can always win another election off some good civil unrest. I mean, that's easy. You know, we don't need any of this first article. Certainly don't need the second article. The only thing on the second article we need is just my executive order power. But I don't see that in the Constitution anywhere, but I'm sure it's there. They got it. Executive order. Now, I'll give you an executive order. But it's okay to allow children cross the border, and the Border Patrol can't arrest them. How many of these little kids do you realistically think are not going to go into prostitution? Oh no, they're going to go to their parents. Really? You don't think there's going to be enough of them going into prostitution or slavery of some sort? Going to work camps, work this, work that. Why is our government facilitating? Then they're going to take these kids and going to hand deliver them to their parents. Are they the real parents? Well, we don't know. But why would they do that? Why would our government facilitate people coming over here? Oh, I've got it. That's right. Votes. All to be a Democrat and vote Democrat and to sign up for Obamacare or Satoro Care. And if they're poor, well, they can just sign up for Medicaid and Medicare, and we'll just tax the rich a little more. But as long as these illegal aliens come over here and they vote Democrat, that's all we need to worry about. That's all this is about. Now, how is that, again, not illegal? If not constitutionally, definitely civilly. I'm sorry, but how many more times? I mean, all you have to do is sit and just talk about any kind of issue facing this country today, and you can find a way that this administration has found a way to violate the Constitution or commit a crime. And we're not talking about impeachment. We can't bring that up. We got a Congress who can't have the power to file a civil criminal lawsuit against the president. They can't do that. Congress doesn't have the power. It can be done. American people have to do it. That's us. But what Congress can do is impeach this president and put an end to the bleeding before this country bleeds out and, well, we die. Public is on its way out. It can come back in. We can rebuild it. But we gotta sew up that vein. It's got a big slit in it, and we gotta sew it up. We gotta stop the bleeding. Sooner the better. Because if it gets to a certain point, we won't be able to close it up, and then no matter what the hell we do, we're gonna bleed out and we're gonna die. And it's Christmas, and here we're talking about this. Are you kidding me? I mean, we should be talking about elves and reindeers and Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus and cookies, which we can't have cookies anymore because it's got trans fat. Damn. Why don't you transfer some of that fat from your brain. Doesn't matter. Look, if you like cookies, you like being fat, then be fat. You like cookies, then eat them. I love cookies. I don't eat them. I quit eating sugar because my body, well, I'm kind of have to. Really not much I can do about it. I'm not diabetic, but I do feel better. But I do eat sugar from time to time because I love it and I don't really give a damn. But if it doesn't bother you and you love sugar and you love cookies and cakes and that kind of stuff, then eat it. Look, if you love tofu, well, then eat it. I'm not going to eat it. But if, it doesn't matter. As long as you fill your belly and you feel satisfied, whatever the hell it is that you eat, that's all that matters. It's your body. You should have the right to eat what you want, regardless of how, well, fattening it makes you or how this or that. It's not your decision to make what somebody else eats. That's the individual's decision to decide what that individual wants to put down his gut. Who the hell are you to decide who eats what and who gets to eat and who doesn't get to eat? And if they do get to eat, what they get to eat? I mean, who the hell are you? And you can only have so much? Well, you can have a soda, but you can only have this much. Who the hell are you to tell anybody that? It's my body. I will eat whatever the hell I want. If a woman can have a goddamn abortion, it's her body. Why can't a man eat a goddamn donut or a cookie? It's his body. He can do whatever the hell he wants to with it. Right, ladies? Huh? It's your body. You can scrape out your babies if you want to. Throw them in a trash can. If they're still living, just jam a pair of scissors in the back of their neck. You got that right to do that. Why can't a man eat a goddamn cookie? Huh? I mean, who are these people? Is this the kind of country you want to live in? Is this the kind of total control you want to be under? I don't, and I won't. I'm thinking about going out to the store right now and buying me a whole truckload of cookies. I'm gonna make all kinds of cookies now. What the hell is the matter with this country? Kids come in, children being trafficked illegally into the United States, and our government is taking those kids and delivering them to the so-called parent. How do we know they're not the parent? How do you know if that woman isn't the madam? How do you know there's not a bunch of drug cartels in the back room there that you can't see? That as soon as these kids come in, they're going to take the kids out the back door and put them into prostitution because their parents didn't have enough money to pay for the ransom. Don't you think for one second that kind of crap ain't going to go on? And if it isn't going on, I mean, you have to at least consider the fact that it very well could. And it's not the point whether it could or it couldn't. You don't allow people, especially children, to be trafficked into the United States. We're not that kind of country. And all for what? So they can vote Democrat? So you people can win elections? Unfriggin' believable. Well, anyway, folks, we are at the tail end of this. I want to wish you guys all a very Merry Christmas. We'll be back here tomorrow on the real Christmas Day. To me, I think Christmas is actually 2 days. Christmas Eve and Christmas. It's a two-day holiday, so it's still Christmas. So we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Head. Somebody snitched on me. I hid a frog in sister's bed. Somebody snitched on me. I spilled some ink on mommy's rug. I made Tommy eat a bug. Bought some gum with a penny slug. Somebody snitched on me. So I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Chair. Somebody snitched on me. I tied a knot in Susie's hair. I did a dance on mommy's plant. Climbed a tree and tore my pants. Filled a sugar bowl with ants. Somebody snitched on me. Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. me because somebody snitched on me. Next year I'll be going straight. Next year I'll be good. Just wait. I start now, but it's too late. Somebody... Who's that coming down the chimney with a bag over his shoulder? It's him! It's him! I thought he wasn't coming!
Where's the silverware, little boy?
In the dining room, like I told you!
And the jewelry?
Same place as last time. How about my cut?
The usual?
The usual. Join me on the cars, okay?
Why not?
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm betting nothing for Christmas. I ain't been nothing but bad. Have a good season.
Excellent.